Your Bibles with you this afternoon. If you'll find a place with me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark, chapter number 4. We, of course, began and preached out of Mark, chapter number 4, last Sunday night. But the Lord has brought us back to this passage of Scripture again with a new section and a new thought. And we'll read toward the end of chapter 4. In fact, we'll pick up our reading in the 35th verse. If you're there and you want to stand, I'll invite you to do that. And we'll read verse 35 down through the remainder of the chapter. You all know where we're at as soon as we begin reading. And we'll take this familiar passage and hopefully give you a thought that'll be a blessing to you, okay? Mark chapter 4 and verse number 35. The Bible says, "In the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we ask your help tonight. Lord, we petition help from heaven. Lord, I pray that you would speak through us and get us out of the way so that you may be exalted tonight. When we're done, may we have seen nothing else except Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name, and amen. You can be seated. The majority of chapter number 4, if you remember from last Sunday night, the majority of chapter number 4 is dedicated to three parables given by the Lord. Jesus teaches his followers three spiritual truths beginning in chapter number 4. And each of these parables has a common theme and a common illustration. The common theme is the kingdom of heaven, and the common illustration is the seed. And last Sunday night, we preached on that seed. In these three parables, Jesus teaches his disciples that not everyone is going to accept the gospel, that they are to remain faithful and do what they've been called to do, and that they are to trust the Lord once they've done what they've done to do what only he can do. He taught them those things. And after giving these three parables, Mark tells us in the end of chapter 4 about a boat ride that Jesus and his disciples take, going from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Of course, while they're on that ship, a storm comes that threatens their life, but just in the nick of time, seemingly, Jesus steps forward and he saves the day. Now, we're all familiar with this story. We've read it many times. You've heard preachers preach from it often. I have preached from it before. We've heard songs sung about it. Brother Scott sings the song, Master of the Sea. We know this story. The reason that I believe this story is so familiar to us is because we're so fond of this story. In these few verses, we're given a great deal of encouragement because we, like these disciples, oftentimes go through storms. And when we go through storms, it is good to know and wonderful to know that we serve one that is able to speak peace into the storms that we are going through. That's a wonderful thing, and I praise the Lord for it. Tonight, however, I want us to look at this familiar story one more time, but it's not the storm that has my attention. Instead, it is the lesson of the storm that I'm thinking about tonight. Would you agree with me that Jesus did not and still does not do anything by chance? It was not just bad luck that they were on this ship the night the bad storm came through. It was not just bad luck that they were on this ship. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus put these men in this place at this time because he wanted them to learn something. I also believe that God, from time to time, puts us in situations in our lives for the purpose of teaching us something and growing us in our Christian life. You see, oftentimes storms come for the purpose of strengthening our faith, drawing us closer to God, and teaching us spiritual truths. These men did not know it, but when they stepped onto this boat, they stepped into God's classroom. And they were going to learn a lesson on this boat. God had something to teach them. And I believe God wants us to look at this tonight because He has something to teach us. I want to preach for just a few minutes on the thought tonight, going to school in the storm. Going to school in the storm. There are three things I want you to see from our text. Number one, write this down. I want you to see the reason for the storm. I want you to see the reason for the storm. Look at verse 35. The Bible says, and mark these first four words, and the same day. When the even was come, He said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. I want you to notice the way verse 35 begins. Mark begins verse 35 by saying, and the same day. The phrase the same day tells us that the sermons on the seed and the storm at sea take place on the very same day. Jesus had spent this day teaching His disciples spiritual truths, did He not? He taught them those three great parables on the seed. He gave them that teaching. He was the instructor to them. He taught them these great truths at the beginning of the day. And then they did not know it, but at the end of the day, there was a test on what they had learned. And when they got on that boat, they were going to take this spiritual truth and place it in a spiritual application. And just like a teacher passes out a test at the end of a lesson, Jesus is going to give them a test to test what they have learned this very day. When God tests our faith, or when God teaches us things about faith, I should say, He often then tests us regarding our faith. Now, our tests do not always come on the same day like this test came. But mark it down, friend. Anytime God teaches you something on faith, He then tests you regarding that faith. In Romans chapter number 10, Paul tells us the way we receive faith. He said in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know how you get more faith? By what we're doing tonight. Amen. We take a Bible scripture and we give it a truth, and I preach or you read, a Sunday school teacher teaches, and that truth is given to you, and God the Holy Spirit stirs it up in your heart, and He teaches you faith by that. Paul says how we get faith. In Romans chapter 10, we get it by hearing the word of God. That's what happened at the beginning of the chapter. But the apostle Paul, at least I believe it's Paul, writing to the Hebrews in Hebrews 11, gives us the practical side of faith. He said, now faith, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which do appear. And then he said this in verse 4, by faith Abel. By faith Abel, used of God, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We are given faith by the word of God, and then we are to put that faith into real life every day. Day in and day out, applications. You could say it this way, we learn it here, we put it in shoe leather when we get out there. You know, I'm afraid too often we think what happens here stays here. We have the Las Vegas mentality when it comes to church. What happens on Sunday stays on Sunday. You'd be amazed how many Christians live that kind of lifestyle. They think that everything that happens here stays here. But that is not what the Bible teaches. You see, Paul talked about, or the Hebrew writer talked about that great faith, and then he put it into shoe leather, and he said, Abel offered, Enoch walked, Abraham gave Isaac, Moses chose, and on and on and on the list goes. Those men and women were not great men and women of faith because they heard something and they believed something, but because they did something. That's right, friend. And I believe Jesus put these men in this position so they could exercise the faith that he had taught to them that very day. The question always arises when you consider this passage of Scripture, did Jesus know the storm was coming? That question always comes up. If you've ever thought that, let me clear it up for you tonight. Of course Jesus knew the storm was coming. He knows everything. In fact, I believe Jesus put them on this boat this night because he knew the storm was coming. You don't think that the same guy that steps out and says to the storm, peace be still, is not the same guy that created the storm. He put them on this ship this night because he knew this storm was coming. And then the question usually comes after that. If Jesus knew the storm was coming, then why did he let them go through what he let them go through? I believe God let them go through this trial in their life. He let this test come because he wanted to strengthen their faith. God sometimes lets you step into the classroom of a storm because he wants you to take what you've heard here and make it real here and in your everyday life. Talking about faith, Paul said in Romans 5, he said, wherefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. We like that, don't we? Peace with God. In verse 2, we have access by whom we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's wonderful too. We've been given peace with God. We've been given access to God all by this faith. But then things take a turn in verse 3. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. And at this point, we want to say, now, wait a minute. Paul, you got me on that peace thing. I'm liking the access thing, Paul. But tribulation? He said, we glory in tribulation. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And then he says, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul said, yes, the same faith that gives you peace with God and the same faith that gives you access to God is the same faith that puts you in times of tribulation, so your tribulation can turn into patience, and your patience can become experience, and your experience can become hope, so you're not ashamed. Oftentimes, it takes the storm for us to understand that Jesus can be trusted in the storm. Amen. We have to go through that turbulent season so that we can believe that he can be trusted during the turbulent times of life. You understand storms don't just come to backslidden individuals, right? Now, they do come to backslidden individuals. Jonah went through a storm because he tried to go to Tarsus instead of Nineveh. But the disciples hadn't done anything wrong. They were in the storm not because they were disobedient. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, okay. And he went this way toward Tarsus. Disobedient to God's will. But the disciples, Jesus said, go get in the boat. They said, okay. Yes, sir. Did exactly what he took. Right smack dab in the middle of God's will. And here comes a storm. If you are saved, mark it down. There are going to be storms. But also mark it down that the storm doesn't come just to come. It doesn't come for no reason. It comes because God wants you to learn something. What's the reason of the storm? God wants you to learn something. That's the reason for the storm. Number two, not only do I see the reason for the storm, but I see the reaction to the storm. The reaction to the storm. Verse 37. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I've never had the opportunity to visit the Sea of Galilee, but from everything I've read, the location of this sea made sudden storms a very common thing. Obviously, this sea is surrounded by hills and mountains, and when a storm comes over that hill and settles down in that little valley where the sea is located, it causes turbulent winds and turbulent waves, and it causes storms in that sea very often. And many times they come suddenly and unexpectedly. And when they come, they are very dangerous. While it's true that storms come to the Sea of Galilee often, and while it's true that these storms were oftentimes dangerous, the way I read this passage of Scripture makes me believe that there was something different about this storm. The reason I think that this storm was different is because the reaction of the disciples when it comes. This wasn't the first storm that they had been through. These men were expert fishermen. They had been through storms before. But when this storm came, they thought they were going to die. This one was different. This one was worse. These men thought they were going to die. Isn't that the way we often react when storms come into our life and trouble comes into our life? More than likely, when a storm comes and trouble comes, we do what they did. We immediately head into panic mode. While I'm sure that I probably would have reacted the same way that these men reacted, when I look at the Scriptures, I can see several reasons why they should not have reacted this way. They should not have reacted this way because of the promise of the Lord. Jesus said in verse 35, and let us pass over unto the other side. When they boarded this ship, they did so with the promise that they were going to the other side. Notice that Jesus did not say that it would be smooth sailing to the other side. All he said is we're going to the other side. They did not have to fear because Jesus had already said, we are going to the other side. You and I have a book full of promises. A book full of God's promises that has promised us many different things. And while it's true that storms come and trials come, we can rest upon His promises. We don't have to be afraid. We can go to God's Word and there we can find strength. Can I say to somebody tonight, can I maybe say to myself tonight, no matter how bad the storm gets, the severity of the storm does not change the Word of God. It did not matter how much the lightning crashed. It did not matter how hard the waves beat on the ship. It did not matter how hard the wind blew. He said they're going to the other side, and that meant they were going to the other side. If you've got God's Word on something, it don't matter how hard the storm gets. God doesn't back up on His Word because the storm gets tough. They didn't have to worry because the promise of the Lord. They didn't have to worry because the presence of the Lord. Verse 35 again, in the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, and notice these next two words, let us. These men have been walking with the Lord for some time now. They have seen the Lord heal sickness. They have watched Him cast out devils. They have been with Him as He fed multitudes. This storm should not have worried them. They should have known that if He could do all those other things, He could do this thing in their life. But you know, I thought about something this week. I guess I've never seen this before. I've never thought about it this way before. I wonder if the reason this time these men displayed a lack of faith was because this time the storm was happening in their life. Now, they had seen him heal sickness, great sickness, but that was somebody else's sickness. And they had watched him cast out devils, but that was somebody else's family. They had seen him do all these miracles, and they believed he could do them. They had seen him, and they believed he could. And as long as it was you that had a need, they had faith. But this time it's not somebody else that's got a need, and it's not somebody else that has a problem, and this time it's not somebody else that's coming to Jesus for help. This time the storm is in their life. And they say, oh boy, I know he did it, I know what he did before, but this time it's me, and I'm not sure if he can do it for me. Don't you care that we perish? You know, it's a lot easier for me to have faith for you than it is to have faith for me. When you're sick, it's easy for me to pat you on the back and say, I'll be praying for you. And I mean that. I will pray for you. I'll be praying for you. God will take care of this. Just have faith. That's easy for me to do. And when you have a financial need in your life, it's easy for me to say, trust God. God always comes through. God never fails. You can trust God with it. And when it's your children that have problems and your grandchildren that have difficulties, it's easy for me to say, trust the Lord, call upon the Lord. God will hear you. God will help you. That's easy for me to say. But when it's my sickness and it's my child and it's my finances, it's harder for me to have faith then. But the reality is, these men had Jesus with them, and they didn't have to fear. In fact, Jesus got with them on this boat, I believe, for the express purpose, the only purpose they got on this boat in this storm is so that they could learn for themselves that as long as he was with them, he would take care of them. He got on the ship, Brother Scott, to teach them, you've seen me help everybody else. I want you to know I can help you too. Oh my. Maybe you're going through a storm tonight. Maybe you're not. You might wake up to one tomorrow. But can I say to somebody, just like God helped everyone else, God can help you. God has not failed nor will he fail when it's your turn in the storm. They did not have to fear because the promise of the Lord, because the presence of the Lord. They didn't have to fear because the peace of the Lord. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. When this storm comes, I can almost picture it in my mind. I can almost see in my mind as I play this out, I can almost see the panic on the face of the disciples. I can watch them as they're shoveling buckets of water out of the ship, and as the ship's going up and it's crashing down, and with every wave it gets bigger than the wave before, and it's like a mountain coming at them. And I can see them panic, and I can see the fear and the dread that is on their face. And I see these 12 men running around the ship, worried for their life. And I stand here and I watch them as they panic. Then in my mind, I look in this direction, and there's Jesus. And he's got a pillow, and he's asleep. These two descriptions couldn't be any further from one another. They couldn't be any more different. Here's 12 men thinking they're going to die, and here's one. And the rain hasn't even woke him up. These men could have just looked at the Savior's face and saw that he was okay. He was at peace. And if he was at peace, then they shouldn't have feared. The next time the storm comes, I challenge you to do something. Will you do something with me, please? The next time the storm comes, and everything is crazy in your world, and it seems like you can't tell up from down, and it's just one bad thing after another bad thing, can I challenge you to do something? In the middle of that storm, would you just be still for a second? And if you'll just be still for a second, you know what you'll find? Somewhere deep down inside, and it may just be a whisper, but somewhere deep down inside, you know what you'll hear? You'll hear the Holy Ghost say, it's going to be okay. Amen. It's okay. And it may not be a shout, and it may be hard to hear over the storm, but something inside will say, it's going to be okay. Just trust me. Just trust me. And that's that peace. That's that one laying on the pillow inside of the storm of your soul saying, it's okay. You don't have to be afraid. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense with what I'm going through. Paul said it's the peace that passes all understanding. It's not supposed to make sense. The thing that made sense is they were going to die. What didn't make sense is the guy on the pillow asleep. But he was the master of the storm. He was the master of the sea. And if he was at peace, then they should have been. And if God says to your soul, it's okay, that means it's okay. Let me show you this, third of all, and I'm done. Last of all, I see the revelation of the storm. The revelation of the storm. Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? When the disciples awake the master, something amazing happens. Jesus speaks to the wind and to the waves, and they be still. I love this. The winds and the waves heard the voice of their master. That same voice that said, let there be light. And there was light. They heard the voice of their master. And he said, be still. And they said, yes, sir. And they laid down. When the winds and waves lay down, and the minds of the disciples, the danger is gone. Or at least that's what they thought. The reality is that the greatest danger was not the waves. The greatest danger was the unbelief in the heart of the disciples. Verse 40, and he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I want you to notice something with me. Notice that Jesus never one time spoke to the disciples about the storm. Never did. He spoke to the storm, but he never spoke to the disciples about the storm. The only thing he addressed was what was taking place inside of their hearts. He never said, boy, that was a tough one. Y'all woke me up just in the nick of time. Boy, that was really hard rain, wasn't it, guys? The wind, that was tough. He never said that. The only thing he said is, gentlemen, why were you afraid? Where was your faith at? You see, the greatest storm was not the one around them. The greatest storm was the one inside of them. The real problem was not without. The real problem was within. Why do you have so little faith? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes to us about one of his greatest successes and one of his greatest storms. We're familiar with the great success, the heavenly revelation, and we're familiar with the fleshly thorn that God gave him because of it. When the thorn was given in Paul's flesh, Paul, of course, you know the story, he asked the Lord three times to take it away. And God replies, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul in turn says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he said something pretty odd. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and distress and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. When the storm first came to Paul, Paul did what all of us would do. He asked God to take it away. But what Paul learned is the storm was not so much about the fleshly pain as it was about the spiritual principle. God said, I have given you this thorn because I want to teach you, Paul, that my grace is made perfect in weakness. A physical storm with a spiritual principle. It's the same thing, different story. And Paul said something odd. He said, therefore, I will glory in persecutions and infirmities and reproaches. He said, Paul, surely you can't mean that. When he said, I glory in those things, he was not saying, I enjoy being persecuted. It feels great when they beat me over the back with whips and rods. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is, I have learned a principle. Here's the principle. When God puts me into the classroom of a storm, he is teaching me that when I am my weakest, he is his strongest. And therefore, I will trust God in my storms. Because in my storms, I'm learning about the strength of the God that's inside of me. Sometimes God allows us to go through trials and tests so he can address a spiritual issue inside of our hearts. Sometimes God allows us to go through the storm so we can learn a spiritual lesson and grow closer to him. When the storm is over, the Bible says in verse number 41 that the disciples feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? When the storm ends, the disciples marvel that the wind and seas obeyed the Lord. Do you know what that means? That means that they went to God's school class, schoolroom, and they learned an important lesson. And so what was the lesson they learned, preacher? The lesson they learned is that God could be trusted. He was the master of the sea. God could be trusted in the storm of their life. I wonder, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I wonder if there's somebody tonight and you're in a storm. God has put you into the classroom of a storm and you're dealing with something. God is not doing that just to do that. God's doing that because he wants to teach you something. Maybe tonight you want to come and pray and say, God, help me to find that place of peace. Help me to hear that still small voice and help me to trust you. What you've done for others, you'll do for me.